Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. King Hezekiah was a godly man who removed idol worship from his kingdom. He reigned for 14 years, and then the Assyrian Empire with its vast army invaded his domain. Hezekiah tried to bribe King Sennacherib to return home, but he took the silver and gold and besieged Jerusalem anyway. The captain of the Assyrian army, Rabshakeh, mocked God and told the Hebrew soldiers to surrender. Hezekiah went to the temple because he desperately needed a word from the Lord. God sent a message through the prophet Isaiah that everything was under control and not to worry about the Assyrians. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
If you have your Bibles with you, you have actually on the NIP, you have the outline there on from 2 Kings. And if you don't have that, turn with me to 2 Kings. And we're going to start in chapter 18. This is a time in Israel when Hezekiah had just become the king. And he was a man of God. And he loved the Lord. And he tried to do everything he could. So let's just read the first seven verses of 2 Kings 18. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places, brake the images, and cut down the groves, breaking pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept the commandments which the Lord God commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. So Hezekiah, he simply decided this: I'm going to be different from other kings in Israel and in Judah, and I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Now, any time when you decide to get saved, or actually when the Holy Spirit moves upon you to get saved, and you receive Christ, and first is euphoria, you're born again. But we have an enemy that is absolutely ruthless. He's ruthless. He has no compassion. He doesn't fight fairly. He fights under the belt. He will use anything. Nothing is sacred for the devil and for the demons. You got to understand that. This is evil that is beyond a human being, even if they are bad, can never be as evil as Satan is, the fallen angels and the evil spirits. So the devil was looking upon this and he said, I don't like this. I want to destroy Judah. I want to destroy Jerusalem. Because the Messiah was going to come, and Satan says, I don't want the Messiah. When you get saved, and you start walking with the Lord, the enemy is not going to be saying, well, okay, that's nice. I'll leave you alone. No, he will ruthlessly attack each one of us. 14 years passed, and Hezekiah was blessed for 14 years, and he must have simply thought, you know, God is good, everything is working out fine, I'm serving God. And then something happened. If you go with me to chapter 18, verse number 13 now. Now, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah, and he took them. Overnight, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, he simply was moved by Satan. And he decided this, I'm going to go and take down Judah and Jerusalem. When a disaster happens in our lives, it happens so fast that we get shocked. And we said, where did this come from? And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended. Return from me that which you have put on me will I bear. Now, we learned before that in verse number 7, Hezekiah had simply said, I'm not going to serve the king of Assyria anymore. I'm going to cut him off. Because he was under obligation to send money and to be his servant. I want you to see the mindset now of Hezekiah. For 14 years, he had served God. He loved the Lord. He destroyed the high places. He did everything right. And then when the enemy showed up, he panicked. Instead of saying, now, I'm going to be trusting God here. All the cities in Judah were taken. The only thing that was left was Jerusalem. Now Hezekiah simply said, okay, I got to deal with this. I got to submit to the king of Assyria. He said, I have offended you. In other words, he said, I'm king of Assyria, Sennacherib. I am sorry that I rebelled against you. Anytime when you're sorry and you feel that you want to go backpedaling, it doesn't work. And the king of Assyria appointed Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Now, the king of Assyria played along. He simply says, fine. That's fine. Here's what I want, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. That's a lot of money. Verse 15, and Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord. He plundered the temple and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord. He simply had workers come in, cut down the gold on the temple, of the doors of the temple, and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria. Remember now, you can never bargain with the devil. He says, if you do this, then I'll leave you alone. If you don't attack me anymore, I will go away. He's a liar. So now, Hezekiah cleaned himself out financially. He told to clean himself out financially. He went to the temple, took the gold from the temple, and gave to this king, that in reality was a scumbag, because he had no reason to conquer other countries. So, diplomacy failed. Look at verse number 17 now. And the king of Assyria sent Tartan and Rabsaris and Rabshakeh from Lachish to King Hezekiah with a great host against Jerusalem. And they went up and came to Jerusalem. And when they were come up, they came and stood by the conduit of the upper pool, which is in the highway of the fuller's field. And when they had called to the king, they came out to them Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph the recorder. I want you to see the picture now that we have here. The Assyrian army had come up. It had totally surrounded Jerusalem. There was not enough soldiers inside of Jerusalem that they could hold them off. And here now Hezekiah had given away the money, the gold and the silver, and in return, the Assyrian came up in force. In the United States right now, we have an onslaught on our nation. The Christian church is under attack. Marriage is under attack. The people, the Kabbalists, the wokes, they now want to change in Congress, and that we no longer will have documents when you get married where it said husband and wife. That is offensive now to the devil. It's offensive to the transgenders, to the homosexuals, and to all the other people that are out there. And they simply says, now, we want to change all legal documents. So when someone gets married, on a legal document, it will not say husband and wife. It would say spouse and spouse. They also don't want to call women, they want to call them birthers. They can give birth. And so, we need to pray. We need to begin to go after the Baal, Ashtoreth, and Ishtar. And we need to realize that even if we're not on the streets, we need to pray in our homes. We need to begin to pray against this, because if we can get people praying in their homes on a daily basis against this new stuff, wokeness, we can have a change. The problem is that we watch the television, we read it in the papers, or you read it online, or whatever you get your news. And we say, oh, that's terrible. That's horrible. But we don't address it in prayer. Now, this guy, Rabshakeh, he simply was going to mock God. He was a kind of a general. He was proud. He was a soldier. He didn't work. His job was to kill and to destroy. And in verse number 19 now, we pick it up here. And Rabshakeh said unto them, Speak you now to Hezekiah. Thus says the great king, the king of Assyria. What confidence is this, wherein you trust? Who are you trusting? He not questioned Hezekiah, his faith. You say, but they are but vain words. I have counsel and strength for the war. Now on whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now behold, you trust us upon the staff of this burst reed, even upon Egypt, on which a man leaned. It will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all that trust on him. But if you say unto me, we trust in the Lord our God, is not he whose high place and whose altar Hezekiah has taken away, has said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem. So he was now talking to the people saying, look what Hezekiah has done. He took down the high places, did all that, he took that away from you, and said you should worship only in Jerusalem in the temple. Then he continued, now therefore I pray you, give pledges to my Lord, the king of Assyria, and I will deliver you 2,000 horses, if you be able on your part to set riders upon them. So Rabshakeh has now said this, if you surrender, fine, we give you 2,000 horses. How then will you turn away the face of one captain of the least of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and for horsemen? Am I not come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Now he's using the name of God, saying to saying this, God told me to destroy you. God told me to take Jerusalem. The devil will put doubts into your mind. He will simply say, are you sure about this? Are you sure that this is what the Bible says? And on the internet, you will get all types of opinions. I mean, there's so much stuff on the internet that if you look upon everyone and try to reconcile them, you will find out there is confusion. There's only one thing to do, and that is to stick your head in the Bible and simply read it for what it is, not what you think it is. Then said Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and Shebna, and Joah, unto Rabshakeh, speak, I pray you, to your servant in the Syrian language, for you understand it, then talk now with us in the Jew's language, in the ears of the people that are on the wall. Now the leadership said, now, hey, don't speak in Hebrew. Speak to us in Syrian, because we don't want, they want to censor the Assyrians. But Rabshakeh said unto them, has my master sent me to your master, and to you to speak these words? Has he not sent me to the men which sit on the wall, that they may eat their own dung and drink their own urine with you? With other words, he said, now, I'm not going to back down. I am an Assyrian. He would combine as well as said, I am a Satanist. My master is Satan, and we're going to destroy you. Then Rabshakeh stood, and he cried with a loud voice in the Jewish language and spake, saying, hear the word of the great king, the king of Assyria. Thus is the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus is the king of Assyria. Make an agreement with me by a present, with a gift. Come out to me, and then eat you every man of his own wine, and every one of his fig tree and drink every one of the water of his cistern, until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of oil, olive, and of honey, that you may live and not die. Hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuades you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. If you now look upon the situation that we have right now in the United States, it is obvious that as the Republicans took control of the House of Representatives and started an investigation of Joe Biden and his family, that there's been tremendous criminal activity where actually Joe Biden have worked with a number of different national governments, other nations, made deals for them, and as a result has been paid money under the table. Investigators from the House, these are people that are hired, they are professionals. They've been able to trace the banking, how the banking scheme was set up, how they had shell companies, and so we have treason, we have simply the highest destruction you can have is when the President of the United States takes bribes in order to give favor to other nations and what they want to do. If you notice now that there's a spiritual battle now in the United States, because most of the media, television, newspapers, and so on, is simply saying there's nothing here, there's nothing to see. They are simply not reporting the news. They're withholding it. And the question now is this: can the United States break loose from the grip of Satan? We are facing today what Hezekiah and Judah faced some 2,600 years ago. Can it break loose? And then Rabshakeh said this: has any of the gods of the nation delivered at all his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Seraphim, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods of the country that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? In other words, he simply said this: look, we have taken this country, their gods could not stop us. We're going to take yours. The last couple of, I would say, months, you heard about transgenders, and the Democrats are working hard on Joe Biden that any child, if the child is confused about the gender, should not talk to the parents, but the child should talk to a psychologist, to doctors. And if a boy feels I'm a girl, they should do surgery on them. If a girl feels I'm a boy, they should do surgery on them. And if you've been watching the news the last couple of months, a number of transgenders have spoken out and given a testimony. This week, there was a boy. He's now about 18 or 19 years old. And he said this: I was mutilated as a child, 8 or 9 years old. They did surgery on me. I got puberty blockers. I got female hormones. And he said, Now, I'm destroyed. He said, I realize I'm not a woman. I'm a man. But I'm destroyed. I'm so messed up. And because of all the things, the digestive system is not working. He will never be able to marry and have children because they took everything out from him. And so we have children now that are up in their 20s. They are suing the hospitals and they are suing the doctors that did destruction to them. Where was the church? How come that we haven't really addressed this? When was the last time you prayed against Ishtar? Remember that demon goddess that is a man and a woman, can flip back and forth. We just simply have ignored it. And now it is hard upon us. If you turn to chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Well, actually, let me read verse number 37 of chapter 18. Then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, the son of Asaph, and they recorded to Hezekiah, with their clothes rent, and told them the words of Rabshakeh. They simply start to mourn. They rent their clothes. They put on sackcloth. They said, now, we need to hear from God. In chapter 19, verses 1 and 2, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household of Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos. Why didn't Hezekiah, in the very beginning, when the king of Assyria came up, why didn't he go to the temple? Why didn't he call on Isaiah then and said, let's call upon the Lord? He loved the Lord, but he got scared. He tried to work in the flesh. And sometimes what will happen to you and me is this, we will get pushed through sickness, loss of job, disasters. And God is simply saying, I don't want you to try to fix it. I want you to come to me. I want you to begin to pray. I want you to ask me for a solution. In verses 6 here through 7, in that chapter, we read this. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus is the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon him. He shall hear rumors, and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. So, King Hezekiah, he got a word. And the word was, I will take care of it. God will take care of America. But we need to pray. We need to pray right now. In our homes. On a daily basis. And not just sit, you know, and simply say, well, it's bad. We need to get into prayer. So Satan never gives up. I told you that. Verse 8 of chapter 19. So Rabshakeh returned, found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, behold, he's come out to fight against him, he sent messages again to Hezekiah, saying, That's how you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying Jerusalem shall not be delivered unto the hand of the king of Assyria. I really want you to see verse 10 now. Look, thus you can say to Hezekiah, king of Judah, don't trust God. Don't trust the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is pretty much now what is being pushed out in the United States. Don't trust God. Join us. Behold, you have heard what the king of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly. And shall you be delivered? With other words, do you think that God is going to deliver you? Have the gods of the nation delivered them which my father have destroyed? As Goshen, Haran, Rezeph, and the children of Eden, which were in Thilasar? Where is the king of Hamath, and the king of Arpad, and the king of the city Sepharim, Hena, and Iva? The pressure now is coming in. God is allowing the pressure to build on Hezekiah. He's realizing now the Assyrians are not going home. In verse number 14, we read this. And Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. I want you to see this man. The city of Jerusalem is surrounded by Assyrian soldiers. They don't have enough soldiers to fight them off. He's receiving this threat now. What does he do? He goes to the house of the Lord, the temple. He's in sackcloth. He lays it out, spreads it out, and he realizes, this is beyond what I can do. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are the God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent in reproach of the living God. Of truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech you, save you us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you only. That's how we prayed. I'm thinking about us here in the chapel. I'm thinking about the people that are cyber members. And I don't think that we have got a resolve of people saying, this is it. We're not going to accept this anymore. We cannot fight this in the flesh. This has to be fought in the spirit world. Amen. We're going to start praying like we have never prayed before. We're going to set aside every day a time to pray against Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, the Democrats, the homosexuals, the transgenders, and all the others, Kabbalists, because only God can remove them. The problem is, our faith is not there. You think, well, I'm just me sitting in that room or in my apartment or in the house. I'm just one person. And I'm going to pray. And you don't have a faith to understand that God hears you. He loves you. He cares for you. You are his child. And he simply says, talk to me. I'm your father. What do you want? And pour out your heart and say, our nation is being torn apart. There's destruction. We need an intervention. Most of us have not really seen answers to prayer. We prayed for headaches, they got away. We prayed for small things. But we really haven't seen any earth-shaking miracles because we prayed. So Satan's using that. And he's simply discouraging us and saying, well, I'm just one person. Or he keeps us so busy, that you have no time to pray. God is in control. We look now in verses 20 to 28. And this is now the response here. Then Isaiah, the son of Amos, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus is the Lord God of Israel, that which you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Isaiah said, simply God spoke to Isaiah and said, go and tell the king, I heard you pray. This is the word that the Lord has spoken concerning him. The virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised you, laughed you to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at you. Whom have you reproached and blasphemed, and against whom have you exalted your voice, lifted up your eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? The people that have chosen to sin, that push the homosexual agenda, that want to castrate our children, and have surgery on them at young age, and give them puberty blockers and so on, and hormones. They need to be pushed back. But we cannot do it in the flesh. We cannot go to the clinics and so on and try to shoot them. We can't do that. It doesn't work. But what works is prayer. God has angels, holy angels. And when God simply says to angels, take this guy out, remove this guy, it's done. Now we read this here from verse number 25. Have you not heard long ago how I had done it, and of ancient time that I formed it? Now have I brought to pass that you should be to lay waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps? Therefore, their inhabitants were a small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as grass in the field, and as a green herb, and the grass at the housetops, and a corn blasted before it's grown up. But I know your abode, and you're going out and you're coming in, and your rage against me. Because your rage against me, your tumult, is come up into my ears. Therefore I will put my hook in your nose, and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way by which you came. Today we have in the United States millions of children that are in public schools, and they were babies growing up into toddlers, and then young children and teenagers. And they were happy. They were content until Ishtar sends her message. Are you sure you are a boy? Are you sure you are a girl? We can fix that. You can change. There's nothing worse than you take when you can deceive a child, innocent child, and you deceive them and destroy them. A number of people are speaking up now. They were destroyed. And they're crying out. But here is a bad thing. The regular media will not carry it. You will not find their story told on ABC, NBC, CNN, or any other of the networks. The three networks might not have carried the story. Newsmax, Fox, and OAN. Three networks. But the majority of people do not watch those. We need prayer. God gave Hezekiah a sign. In chapter 19, we're going to read from verse number 20 through 28. We have read that, so let me go down. In verse 29, and this shall be a sign unto you. You shall eat this year and sell things that grow out of themselves. In the second year, that which springs are the same. In the third year, sow you and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruits thereof. And the remnant escaped of the house of Judah shall yet again take root downward and bear fruit outward. For out of Jerusalem shall come forth a remnant, and they that escape out of the Mount Sion, the seal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor cast a bank against it. By the way he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, says the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it, for my own sake, and for my servant David's sake. In America, we've had revival awakenings. If you study them going back to 1700, 1800, and early 1900s, you would find that a revival awakening always comes when it is the darkest, when the country is as ugly as it can get, as sin is really in power. That's when it starts. And where did it start? It started with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people that simply says, we need to pray. We don't need to build more church buildings. We don't need to have more activities. We don't need to have a lot of, what do you call it, production. Because none of that will change it in America. We need prayer. We need a move of God. This is the reason that God told me to start National Intercessory Prayer. It's to try to inspire people to pray. And to make us to pray, to seek the Lord. Now, what happened to the Assyrians? If you read him now in verse number 35. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. 185,000 soldiers. And when he arose early in the morning, when the people in Jerusalem arose in the morning, all they could see, dead corpses. Most pastors do not believe this story. In the seminaries, they simply say, well, this is exaggeration. It did not happen. They don't believe in miracles. But it did happen. God simply said, I'm going to take care of this. The same angel of the Lord that went out over Egypt and smote the firstborn so that Moses and the people could go, the same angel came back and took care of these Assyrian soldiers. They just died. Period. The people of Judah did not have to lift one sword, shoot one arrow. God took care of it. Here's what I believe. We have been praying for this. I believe that shortly, Joe Biden is not going to be on earth anymore. I believe that Kamala Harris, shortly, is not going to be around on this earth anymore. I believe that the people that are promoting this new evil stuff, there's going to be a lot of death. People are going to die. And they're going to say, well, this guy died, and so on. I believe that the angel of the Lord is still around. But you see, he will not go into action unless we move God, because he will not take orders from us. We have to move God. God speak to the angels, and they will take out the enemy. We need to pray down the Holy Spirit. For we have a move of the Holy Spirit that will change people's hearts. Verse number 36. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. He went home. He realized, my army is gone. He probably had some bodyguards left. And he got on his horse, trying to go back to Nineveh. But you see, you can't run away from God. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping the house of Nisroch, his god, is an idol, that Adrammelech and Sharezer, his sons, smote them with a sword, and they escaped into the land of Armenia, and Esarhaddon his son reigned in his stead. God didn't send an angel. He moved upon his two sons. What their motive was, we don't know, but they became the avenger of the Lord. And the king of Assyria died in a little house he had built for his idol god. He went to hell. And he realized when the angel came and picked up his soul. And because you see, here, this is very important. When a person dies and the soul is taken out, at that moment, that person will have instant knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, of the creation, of the angels, of the fall of the garden, hell, lake of fire. The scales will be moved off. And many times, doctors and nurses have said this, when an unbeliever dies, the last moment as they are leaving, fear, they are constricted. They simply shrivel up in fear. And this king, he realized, what did I do on this earth? I was a killer. I was a dictator. I try to do this and that. I try to build something. And now, look at all. Man, I missed the boat. And he went to hell. Every unbeliever, when they die, the veil is taken away. And they would suddenly have full knowledge of the spirit world, what happened, and their fate. I want us to turn to Matthew chapter 18 right now. Matthew chapter 18. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 6 through 7. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because offenses, for it must needs to be the offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses comes. When we pray for God to remove people on this earth, we're praying in God's will. Jesus said here, anyone that offends a little one, it would be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and tossed in the ocean than to live. Should we be concerned about the new program they do in education? When the teachers are told, don't tell the parents that we are working with this child because they want to transition into the different gender. Does God approve that? No. Does God approve of all the things that is happening? No. How does God want us to pray? We can pray that God will save some of these people. But some of these people are not going to get saved. They don't want to get saved. And God knows in advance they're not going to get saved. The 185,000 Assyrian soldiers didn't get saved. They got killed. Because they opposed the living God. They simply said, you know, we have other gods. We don't need this God. The king of Assyria, he simply said, you know, I'm my own God. You know, I got my own God here at home. Got a little building for him. And God said, okay, take him out. Have you prayed like this before? I had gone through history, church history, and very seldom have churches risen and simply said, we're going to pray for the king to be taken out. We're going to pray for these ungodly people to be taken out. They haven't really been done. And the reason for that is we are intimidated. And also, because we haven't seen prayers answered in our lives, so we don't think that prayer is sufficient, effective. So we don't pray. Can that change? Yes. But listen now. It's going to take the Holy Spirit to hit you. No one can say, well, okay, I'm going to start being a prayer warrior. No. Unless you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to pray. You will do the work for God. You will do all kind of great things for God. But you won't pray. Because there are demons. Their job is to make sure that people do not pray. Let me again read Matthew 18. 6 and 7 here. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs to be, the offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offenses come. There's a number of transgenders in the military service right now that start having surgeries. They're in the Marines, Air Force, Navy, Army. And these people are basically no longer soldiers. They have had their surgeries, different things. They are in hospitals, convalescing. They will never be able to fight. They were destroyed. And Joe Biden, his staff, chief of staff, not the, the Armed Forces Chief of Staff simply said, well, we got to take care of, we got to help our people. We got to let them mutilate themselves. Do you think that God loves that? Do you like that? What about the abortion clinics? It's time now. I hope that this reason that I'm spending this entire time today on this, it's time. I want to wake you up. I wish I could go and take you by the shirt and just shake you and say, please, wake up. I've done here today what God told me to do. The Holy Spirit has been speaking to each person in the chapel, to each person watching us online. And you now will have to make a decision. Is John Terrell fanatic? Is he a lunatic? Is he going beyond what can be done? Or is he really calling us to pray like Hezekiah? He spread a threat out. He was on the floor and said, God, here it is, see this. And God said, I will take care of it. I don't know if we're going to be successful. I don't know if national intercessory prayer would go any place. If it was just a dream. If it was just something God gave me, but it didn't fly. I don't know. All I can do is give the message. Each one of you pray. Each one of you search your heart. And simply say, where do I stand?
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself.
Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, Standing Defiantly in God's Way. King Hezekiah was a godly man. He reigned for 14 years and then the Assyrian Empire invaded his domain. Hezekiah tried to bribe King Sennacherib to return home, but he took the silver and gold and besieged Jerusalem anyway. The captain of the Assyrian army, Rabshakeh, mocked God and told the Hebrew soldiers to surrender because the situation was hopeless. Hezekiah went to the temple because he desperately needed a word from the Lord. God told the prophet Isaiah that everything was under control and the Assyrians would leave. Then they came back just as brash as ever. Hezekiah sought the Lord again. His imprecatory prayer was heard in heaven, and an angel executed every Assyrian soldier in their encampment. We have a similar situation in the United States with political leaders that mock God and Christians. Moral degenerates are actively working to seduce children to become like them. God responds to imprecatory prayer. It's time to call upon the Lord. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1922. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, May God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.